to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. And when I would have you to note on your sheet, as you're keeping notes, Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3 through 9, and 13 and 14. 3 through 9, 13 and 14. And we're going to look at all of this, but I want you to focus this morning on verse number 4. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse number 4, and I'll be reading from the NIV, and it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Let's bow. Our God and our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you have given us to worship you. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and knowing that because of his life, because of his death and his resurrection, that we stand in the place that we now stand. I ask this morning, Lord, that you would take your words and that you would customize it for each listening ear, that you would speak to us individually and collectively, that we would hear from you, and in hearing from you, our lives would be changed and transformed, that you would be glorified and you would be honored in our lives. This I ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen. When we look at the book of Ephesians, the chapter number 1 is very doctrinal, and it has basically three things that we as Christians need to understand about the book. And one is salvation in Christ, the blessings that flow from or that are obtained from this salvation, and that there must be praise directed to God. In verse number 1, Paul gives us his title as an apostle, and he makes sure we understand that it is God's will that he is an apostle. I was at a conference a week ago, and being at that conference, there were many people that attended. Matter of fact, it was probably 99.9% men. And it was interesting to see all of the titles that these men had before their name or after their name. But Paul wants us to understand that his position as an apostle is according to the will of God. And then he goes on into the next verse, and he wants us to understand his audience, who he was speaking to. And he wants us to understand that he was speaking to saints, those that believed in Jesus Christ. He wants us to understand that he's talking to God's Holy One, the faithful, those who had their faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that we as Emmanuel Chapel, as we as part of the body of Christ, need to understand that Paul is speaking to us because there is something here in these few verses from 3 to 9 that he wants us to come to understand because it has an impact on how we serve the Lord. In the next verse, he wishes us grace and peace. Grace is what God bestows on us, and it's undeserved. He also wants us to understand that the peace that he is talking about is a result of us receiving God's grace, and it comes through our obedience to the gospel. So the peace that God is talking to us about in this chapter is a peace that comes from God's grace, and it's a result of our obedience to God, to the gospel. Now, as we look in verse 3 through 8, we're talking about the spiritual blessings in Christ. And Paul starts off by saying, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That we as saints, we as believers, we as being part of the faithful in Christ, should be praising God and honoring God for what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. We need to remind ourselves at times that God is sovereign, that he is the creator of everything, and that everything is for his purpose, for his will, his grace, and is part of his redemptive blessing. So Paul is saying to us that we are to give God praise, we are to honor God because of what God has done and for what God is doing in our lives. And then he goes on to have us to understand, and he says, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In essence, what Paul is saying to us is that we need to understand that God has already blessed us beyond what we could ask, beyond what we could think, and that we need to realize that everything that we need, God, and that we lack nothing because God has already met every need in our lives in Christ. What he wants us to understand that because of Christ, in him, we are strong. In him, we are rich. Now, some of us would look at that and say, you know, when I look around me and I look around my home and I look at what other people have, I don't see this richness that God is talking about here. And God is talking about not material things, but you are rich in your spiritual relationship with Christ. That Christ is already committed to you that every need that you have in life, he's going to satisfy. Now, I remember when that was enough to shout off of right there. But maybe as we go along, you'll grab onto something that you can shout and thank the Lord for as we look at these verses. Watch this. What he's also saying to us is that Jesus Christ is the only way to receive God's spiritual blessings. He wants us to understand that God planned our salvation. That God's plan for our salvation is inseparable to Christ. John the 8th chapter. He also wants us to understand that the source of Christian life is in Jesus Christ. It is by him God gives eternal life to those who obey him. And along with that, in this scripture, God wants us to understand that Jesus Christ took on flesh for his redemptive act and to accomplish his eternal purpose in God. In essence, what we need to understand is that we need to understand that all that Christ has done for us to have us to be standing where we now stand in our relationship with him. That he came from heaven that we may be redeemed and that we may have eternal life. That all of this is accomplished in him, by him, and we need to obey his word. In verse number 4, he says, he chose us in him. I had a very close friend that I eulogized a year ago. Her name was Jules. Jules was much taller than me. And we used to go and play basketball together. And as we walked to the basketball court, Jules had an uncanny way of always making foul shots. Once the game was going on, he wasn't that great, but he could make foul shots. And in our neighborhood, the first two guys that were able to make foul shots would pick the team members. So Jules and I are walking to the basketball court, and he says to me, "Don't worry about a thing. As soon as I make the basket, you're the first person I'm going to choose." So I knew before we got to the basketball court that I was going to be on Jules' team. And what God wants you to understand, that he chose you. You didn't choose him, but he chose you. And if you want to say to be part of his team, fine. But he chose you. You did not choose him. Now, as I thought about this, it reminded me that God did a fantastic thing here. How fantastic was his thing? He chose you before you were saved. He chose you before Christ's first coming. He chose you before David. He chose you before Moses. He chose you before Abraham. He chose you before Adam and Eve. He chose you before he created the universe. He chose you before he created the earth. He chose you before every other living creature. He chose you before the sun and the moon. He chose you before there was dry land. And he chose you before there was light. Because the word here says, he chose you before the foundation of the world. In essence, when you look at any one of these buildings downtown, they first start with a foundation. And before the foundation of the world, he chose you. Somebody should be shouting right there. That God chose you in his grace. And he chose you to be holy and blameless before him. Your unrighteousness, he declared righteous. A perfect righteousness which is placed in believers, which is holy and blameless in your position before God. As an unworthy sinner, he declared you worthy of salvation in his son. And then there's those two words that he sticks in there, in love. God's divine motive in moving and working and planning this whole process is because of his love for you. His actions are based on love. And he did this to affirm in you his love for you. Now, I've been married a good number of years. And I can say this to any husband. You have to affirm your wife and let her know that you love her. You have to affirm your wife and let her know that you love her. And God gave us his example that he chose you to affirm to you he loves you. But I know that there are times when things go in our lives, when we have problems and we have situations where we don't ask him, but we in our minds wonder if he loves us. And what we need to hold on to, what we need to come to understand, is that he loves us. As we go on in this short verse here, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Christ, through Jesus Christ. He predetermined that you would be adopted as his son. There was a young man who was put in a basket and he was left at the hospital after his birth. His mother did not wait around. His father wasn't there. One of the nurses came out of the hospital and picked him up and took him back into the hospital. They checked him out, and then they turned him over to social services. While he was in social services, he was placed with a family that was already impoverished. He was in the system, so to speak. And to make money as he got older, he was about 7 or 8 years old, he got himself a shoeshine box, and he would stand on the same corner every weekend to sign shoes for 25 cents in order to make money. And one day this man came around the corner and asked him for a shoe shine. And as he was shining the man's shoes, the man started talking to him and came to understand his plight in life. The man picked him up after he finished shining his shoes, and he looked at him and he says, "I want to adopt you." And he told him that if he allowed himself to be adopted, that he would give him new life. And the man adopted him, and after he had adopted him, then he found out how rich the man was. And all of those things that he wanted from the time he was 7 to the time he was 10, the man provided for him. In essence, the man redeemed him and brought him into a new life. That's what God is talking about here. He's talking about your poverty spiritually. He's talking about your poverty, in some cases, financially. But God wants us to understand that he adopts us into his family, and we have new life in him. We are redeemed in him, and because of his blood, we are redeemed, and everything that we stand in need of, God has already taken care of. We lack nothing in Christ. And so this young man went on, and when he was 15, his adoptive father died. But his adoptive father made sure that he left everything in place for this young man. Now, we need to understand that Jesus Christ died, was resurrected, and now is seated next to the Father. But he left everything here that we need in his Holy Spirit to give us direction for our time here, and then to make sure that we have his gift of eternal life when our time here is complete. God wants us to understand that before he created the world, he put in place all that we will ever need. Listen, he predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for himself according to his favor, his grace, and his will. So this was part of his process for us. The reason God blesses us is because he has chosen us. Because God now views us because of Christ as having no fault, without blame, and without defect. In verse number 5, we go on to understand we have a righteousness we could not obtain on our own. That God has lavished us and I've been struggling with how to have you to understand what it means to be lavished by God. You know, Thursday, we sat down at a table, my children, my grandchildren, relatives, and the table was full. That's being lavished by God. When you got more than enough. When God has given you so much, as it says in Psalms 23, your cup overflows. Because he chose you. Because he's creator. Because he is who he is. He lavishly applies to you all that you need. That makes sense? In verse 9, if you would go there, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Salvation is by faith. And God's plan unsurpasses the knowledge of Christ. No, let me say that a different way to you. God has chosen in verse number 9 to make known his mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which is in Christ. In essence, what God has done has started to show you the mystery of who Christ is and what Christ will do in your life through grace. Now, in closing, if you go to verse 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ, that when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of our God. In essence, what Paul is saying here is that you heard the word, you heard the gospel of salvation, and you believed it. And because you believed it, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that is your guarantee that you are God's possession. He did it for his glory, so that we would praise him, so that we would give him glorious praise, that we would allow our minds to be encapsulated with the greatness of his name, and that we would be favored in his beloved. In essence, you were chosen by God that he would bring you into this relationship through Christ Jesus, and that you would give him praise, that you would give him glory, that you would honor him because of what he has done for you. Let's bow. Father, it's good to know that before the foundation of the world, you had a plan, and your plan was completed in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is good to know, Lord, that we stand before you and we lack nothing, but that because of your plan, every need that we have, every concern that we have, is satisfied in your Son. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak clearly and plainly to the heart of these your children, having them to clearly understand this marvelous, this wonderful thing that you have done for us even before you flung the sun into the sky. We praise you. We thank you for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that our lives would become totally holy and totally blameless, that we would submit and obey your gospel, and live lives that are pleasing to you, that we might in every way, every day, glorify, honor, and praise you. This we ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.